Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Guy.
Hi, guys, and welcome to the...
Guy.
Just one guy. One guy that we know of, Ben. There's only one guy who speaks to us on Twitter.
Sure.
But I'm sure he represents a cast of thousands.
I bet. And how can those cast of thousands talk to us on Twitter?
At Ollie... No, I'm not doing that. Just search for me, you know, I'm there. You know my name. Ollie, what more do you want?
Ollie Bettersworth.
Ollie, yeah, I mean that might
be. Ben Adams.
Ben Adams, Ollie Bettersworth.
There's people out there going, I listen to these guys all the time.
I don't think
it's the only thing I've got to listen to while I'm on my commute to work.
It seems unlikely. Or we are the only podcast on the internet. I mean, I suppose there's that.
There
are audiobooks. You know, I think people are big into those, aren't they?
Are they?
No.
Why, though? And then Harry took up his wand and Voldemort was killed. I don't know why you'd want to listen to an audiobook. I remember listening to an audiobook of Richard Dawkins.
Mm.
And it was a bit like, I'd rather read this. Because the way it's written, it's too complicated to understand when there's just an old man.
But if you could see the words, you might be able to understand what they mean.
Well, no, yeah. Yeah, exactly, yeah. Mm. Yeah, I don't like audiobooks. Not a fan.
Did he read it?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yahweh. The Christian god Yahweh is a right dick.
Welcome to the only podcast on the internet.
Welcome.
Ben, you just astounded
dropped
me by
a bombshell.
You dropped one heck of a bombshell by saying, now audience, sit down. Don't be in a dangerous spot if you feel faint or it's going to cause you any kind of trouble because this is big.
This is going to rock the world.
I mean, I don't know if there are award ceremonies for podcasts yet, seeing as we're the only one. But if there were in the future, they should look back on and give. They'd probably
best
give
best moment in a podcast.
Yeah.
All the nominees would be us, obviously.
I mean, this is one heck of a scoop. Ben Adams,
renowned,
just evil doer,
evil misogynist,
bigot, Farage loving, race baiting, immigrant loathing, Farage loving.
Stop saying Farage loving.
Farage. Loving.
It's the only thing that's true in what you're saying.
Ben Adams. Trump supporting.
How dare you?
Gay hating. Woman, but mostly woman despising.
Loathing.
I've used loathing already. I was trying to use another synonym.
Oh,
I didn't find one. Anyway,
so I read something, an article by.
Hey, well, I don't know if they're ready. Just slow,
they
it,
are ready.
Slow it down a little bit.
Okay, I read an article.
Yeah.
Today, from some fucking feminist.
Right.
Completely agree with it.
What?
Yeah, completely agree with it. Every single word. I was like, yeah, it's completely true.
Okay.
Well, not every single word.
But was it about women's issues, or was it about something entirely unrelated? Because that's important. I mean, was it just
someone
who knows to be a feminist reviewing an episode of
Preacher? Oh, God, no. It was about the glass ceiling in comedy. But it was written on a very downtrodden note, like, even, and it was kind of like, even though women are getting opportunities in comedy now, this is why it's shit.
Right.
But I completely disagreed, because comedy
You
is,
said you agreed. What's going on? You've now
I didn't agree with every word. I agree that the glass ceiling is happening in comedy at the moment.
Right.
But here's why it's a good thing. Because glass ceiling, if you don't know, listeners, is basically when a company's failing. They promote women.
No. That's a glass cliff.
Oh, what's the glass? Oh, shit.
Glass ceiling is just the idea that there's a kind of impenetrable layer of, like, success and upper management or kind of, you know, promotions within companies or success in any kind of industry that, because you're a woman, you just can't penetrate upwards through the glass ceiling.
Okay.
So when they say, I'm smashing their glass ceiling,
right,
they mean
I
it's
got
like
you. Okay.
They're not being
I was
held,
thinking
held
of a
back.
Completely different thing. So, newsflash, I completely disagreed with this one. No. But listen, right, so at the moment in comedy, it is going down on a decline. So, because in popularity, they're really like pushing at straws.
Are they?
It feels like it.
Have you got any evidence to back this up?
Well, just
comedy
the amount,
comedy
okay.
is waning in popularity?
Well, I mean, on TV, like comedy. Okay, comedy films do awful at the box office now.
I don't own a television, so.
Well, comedy films do awful, I mean, at the box office now. And also, you can tell with these shows, there's so many of these shows, like 8 out of 10 Cats Does Countdown, 8 out of 10 Cats, Virtually Famous. Like, there's so many of these shows.
Haven't heard of them.
But they're awful. But there's so many of them, people are obviously getting bored of it.
Right.
And it's. And
by people, do you mean just you, though?
Just me.
Yeah.
No, but I'm sure most people are. Yeah, but they're.
You do, they you come do represent and go, the common man.
No, but they come and go very quickly, these kind of shows.
Hmm.
But I don't know, Virtually Famous is on, like, what, its fourth series or something?
I don't know. Don't know what it is.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I just wanted to talk about what this article was talking about.
Okay. But you don't really. You didn't clearly understand it. So.
But I'm saying. No, but I, for me personally, I see a lot of women coming up in comedy now that are great.
Yeah.
Whereas when they first go, let's put women in comedy, you get the shit that are simply just because they're women.
Right.
But now, I guess that's helped because now genuinely funny people are really coming up through the ranks, and they are through that glass ceiling.
Right, right. I see. Well, I think something I talked about with my friend once when, you know, back years ago when it seemed like this kind of new wave of feminism and social justice awareness was coming in, and there was a lot of fuss and anger about it and a lot of people being very stupid on both sides and blah, 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 blah. He talked about how, do you remember when atheists was a new thing? And there was all this spite and fighting and all this uproar, and it seemed like a big issue, and everyone was. And now it has sort of. Of course, on the internet every day, there's hundreds of people wasting time arguing about whether there's a God.
Yeah, but not as, it doesn't seem. It as seems like anymore.
Now atheist is just a term we're comfortable using, whereas before, a few years ago, atheist wasn't nearly as commonly used to describe. You might would say, I don't believe in God, but you wouldn't maybe put the label atheist.
I'd say like agnostic.
Yeah,
but then because I never really thought about it, and then when atheism kind of came about a bit.
So basically the point was that hopefully we'll get to a point where feminism is just accepted as a thing, and basically, there isn't all this fuss about it, and there isn't all this kind of new stuff that people are resisting learning about, or being people being told what to think and what to do. And maybe it does take that initial push, that initial fuss, that initial the bit pendulum, of unrest.
The pendulum
stuff.
Thing of, like, it goes too far, comes back down to. But then not really, because it's a better. We've progressed.
Yeah, it hasn't just returned to the. I see what you're saying, but I think you're right. I think that things are kind of getting better. And maybe. Because it has been going on for about 4 years. Yeah. Because, as I said in a previous podcast, this was something that was starting to happen when I first got together with my girlfriend, so I've got a convenient measure of time. And so it has been sort of 4 years, and I think people are just gradually getting used to these ideas, and yet there's still all this endless culture war between kind of horrible people who, you know, hate any form of social justice and people that hate kind of for reasons of social justice. There's a lot of hate, of course, still, but hopefully things will sort of subside.
But then,
trying to be positive about
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. Like, I'm in a very positive mood at the moment. It's like, it's gone so shit now. Social media, and just even talking to people now, it's like, everyone's just got an opinion on this and this and this, and everyone wants to talk about it all the time, and it's like, let's all just calm down. Like, we're all in this together. Like, the damage has been done now. Like, let's just see. You know, we have to deal with it.
By damage is done, you mean Trump?
Yeah.
Because I think even just a week ago, I was feeling a lot more down in the dumps about it. But now that he's in power, I'm almost convinced it just can't last.
Yeah, but like, it will.
Something has got to happen.
No, it won't.
I know this is an unprecedented situation in history, but I'm almost convinced at this point that given 4 years, we're going to look back at this and go, what?
We need to.
Fuck were we doing?
Yeah, but that's what we need
Trump
to do.
Trump was president for a few months, but and then before, you know, he started.
Not a few months. It's going to be it's 4 years, Ollie.
It's
going to be 4 years.
It can't.
Years.
It's been 1 week, and it seems like we're already at, like, boiling point where we're ready to rip each other's heads off.
I know.
And
but
no one seems to be happy.
Yeah, but you need to rip everyone's heads off. and then not everyone will do it, and they'll go, oh, why was I trying to rip that person's head off? What a fucking stupid thing to do. People are so angry.
So the people that have still got heads will inherit the earth.
Yeah.
Mm.
They need to just burst and be like...
among a kind of wall of corpses.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I don't like your vision. I like my vision better, whereas like in 1 week's time, he tries to start a war with England and someone just assassinates him for the good of everyone.
I'm thinking like in a historical kind of point of view, like the way civilizations go and the way people progress, it gets to that point. Like we had two world wars and then we were like all pleased with ourselves. We were all united. In Britain. But do you know what I mean? Like that kind of sense of like we all got through this together and we're all happy. But we've reached a point now, and it's because obviously we're humans and we never learn. So we learn very slowly. So eventually we'll get to the point where something's got to happen. And people, you know, it might be pretty awful.
So you think that what you're saying is you think Trump might be the monster we all need?
Yeah. Right now. A little bit, yeah.
So he's a good thing.
He's not, no, but...
but it's a bad thing that we sort of need to grow.
About our existence is so much above us. Like, you just got to let it... You've got to... Like, these people, when they're back in, I don't know, Roman times, they're sitting around going, we fucking...
What are you going with this?
I'm saying they're sitting around thinking, we fucking love this, and then, oh no, it's getting shit.
Mm.
And that's what we are going to get to.
Right.
But people, you know, you just got to look at it at that level and be like...
I've never been one for conspiracy theories. But
that's not a conspiracy theory.
No, I'm not saying it is. I'm saying here's a conspiracy theory
that
I might get close to believing because it's just too perfect a global mindfuck.
Yeah.
That maybe someone's just behind it. Maybe it's just there. It's been orchestrated by the Illuminati, Jay-Z, Beyonce, Rihanna and the like. I've understand that they do triangles in their music videos from
do
what
they
I understand.
Really?
So they're probably members of the Illuminati. There's only one possible explanation. Look at YouTube.
They
do all the triangles. Beyonce and Jay-Z got together and they were like, you know what? It's really gonna help us first of all sell albums. Hello. And second of all, destabilise the entire world, which for some reason is Jay-Z and Beyonce. I haven't worked out all the kinks in this plan. There's no motive whatsoever. But, nonetheless, you can't deny that it is just the perfect way of making everyone go, why? What's going on? Get Trump to be president. Trump is the... president!
Did they support Trump? They didn't support Trump.
No, not publicly, man. That would blow their cover.
I mean, this is getting very odd. I don't believe any of this.
No, not Jay-Z. Maybe not Jay-Z. I'm not publicly blaming the Illuminati.
Yeah, okay.
Or some shadowy... the people who are in charge, the New World Order, the aliens, whoever it is, the lizard people, they have decided... what more could they have done to really fuck with us?
Okay. And then, but why? Why would these people do that?
So that we're all looking at Trump while they secretly do their shadowy machinations.
Which is what?
Which is, I don't know.
No, but that's what I mean. Like, you need to know.
Smuggling the gold out of such and such.
What would they gain? What would they gain from it?
I don't know.
But I do always think, like, once you've got a certain amount of money and you've got a certain amount of power, like where it's got to end somewhere, hasn't it?
There's no end to these. No.
No, but after you've got all that and you've fulfilled that, and you're like, I'm still not happy.
Mm.
And then you carry on searching, and you go, oh, maybe having sex with children will make me happy. Do you see what I mean?
Mm.
So. but there's so many like high profile paedophile rings that you've got. It's something weird, isn't it?
Yeah, one of them run by Hillary Rodham Clinton. From a pizza shop, I heard on Reddit. No, 4chan.
I think it was
4chan.
Yeah, didn't someone run into a pizza shop and shoot it up?
Oh, yeah.
Jesus.
Because of fakenews.com. Hashtag post-truth.
Was it? Was it? Or maybe someone said, yeah. Maybe they released the information and then they went, it's fake news.
You just can't. This is the thing. People don't. Hopefully now people will cotton on a little bit because, as always, everyone's always behind me, man. Been saying this for years, but just don't. If you're going to read a news thing, First of all, don't get your news from social media, which a startlingly high number of people...
Oh, God, yeah, and it's all
go only, only to Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah, I know.
For their news.
I know.
What?
Well, my friends wouldn't lie to me. They've obviously done the work.
Yeah, so... We know, first of all, that a lot of people get their news from social media. We also know that even the articles that are shared on social media, they don't fucking read before sharing them. They just read the, this will make me look good, or this headline probably says something or other. They don't read the fucking article because no one's got time to read anything, and or no one takes the time to, except me, because I'm an absolutely perfect exemplar for the rest of you.
You can't start from social media because then it takes you to an ad.
Just do what I do, right? If you want to know about a thing, if it interests you, read 3 or 4 articles from different places. Go on Twitter and see what people are saying, and then put together your kind of interpretation of what's most likely, and then come up with what you think may have happened. Because you weren't there.
Yeah.
You don't know anything. Everyone's got agendas. It's just insane. We can't trust anything anyone says. It's a really bizarre
time. Yeah, I know.
Time.
It's crazy.
And Trump is president.
Like I was saying about Channel 4. Come on, let's stop talking about Trump. It's all just be peaceful.
It's just a never-ending nightmare. It's only been a week.
Yeah, right. Just, Ollie, just sit back in your deck chair and watch that asteroid come on in. Just sit back and go, do you know what? There's fuck all I can do about any of this. Mm-hmm. Well, that's very apathetic, Ben. And it's like, okay, what are you going to do?
Assassinate Trump. Because it's wide open.
Do you know what?
If someone did it, I'm not trying to advocate violence, but...
I was listening to a podcast, and they told...
There's these new things called podcasts.
And they said they were going to assassinate me.
There's only one of them, so it was really hard. Really hard to find it, because only one of them, but I'm Donald Trump, so... I found it. The way I find things is the best. It's amazing. I wanted to bring up a documentary that I watched recently that I think you should watch, and everyone should watch, because it's a lot of fun, but it also makes you think... It almost doesn't seem like it can be real, but it I'm assured it is. It's called Tickled.
Oh.
It's a documentary. Yeah, it's one of these documentaries that you sort of start off thinking it's going to be one thing, and then there's lots of those. You know, you start the way that they're told nowadays is the story. I was just innocently researching this little thing, and blah blah blah. But actually. Then I happened upon blah blah blah, and I don't know how much of that is orchestrated or real. But this one, it's called Tickled, and it's about this Australian journalist, maybe misremembering that, I think he was Australian, who was looking up, he came across a video of this, that I think it was viral, I remember actually coming across this myself a little bit, or at least seeing a link to it, of like tickling championships. Did you ever see that? Videos of these like athletic looking guys in Adidas sportswear. One of them is tied down and they're just tickling, and it's about like endurance. It's called like endurance athletic championship tickling.
That's really hard though.
Yeah. And it's almost like it's a sport, and it was like advertising that there was going to be some sort of Olympics of it or something, you know.
God.
And then he starts to investigate it almost like it's going to be this little, sort of quirky little story, and then it goes to some really fucking places from there. Turns out nothing is what it seems. It's all this shadowy, really seedy shit going on. And it's all starts from this kind of quite uncomfortable, because there is something homoerotic and slightly... Because the guy is like tied down. It is just tickling. So it's a weird, uncomfortable mixture of something that makes you laugh and is quite silly, but has this undercurrent of sort of restrained sexuality behind it. So it does make you feel uncomfortable to watch. And then the like from the beginning, you're like, it's funny that these guys are like tickling each other. But it's just dead quiet. All you can hear is just someone going. And there's no like music or commentary or titles or anything. It's just kind of this weird video appears. And it's already uncomfortable when you think it's some sort of slightly bizarre subculture, but it isn't. it's something far, far, I won't, don't want to say, because it, half the fun is fun of the story being told to you. So it's one of those documentaries.
Yeah,
like,
but now I'm guessing. Now I'm like, oh, what is it? Like, is it a murder?
You'll have to watch it. Tickled. That's my recommendation to everyone.
Suddenly, when
I haven't seen
off,
it, I haven't
I
seen
thought,
a documentary.
Oh, this should be good.
No, you should definitely.
No,
watch
no, I definitely
it.
Want to
really,
watch it.
Really, really good.
Want to. But it sounded all nice and like, oh, this all, and then it's like, oh god, Tickled now sounds.
It's really weird. Really, really weird.
Oh yeah, I'm going to watch that.
Mm. And that's what I meant at the beginning. It's almost kind of, once you've finished with it, you sort of don't really know what to do with it. You're like, okay, so that's something real that's going on.
Oh, fuck off. No, I don't want to know. Don't tell me.
No, I don't. I'm not going to tell you. But it's, you should.
I don't like being tickled either. It's horrible.
Mm.
Oh, that's really interesting.
Yeah, you should watch it. It's really good stuff.
Cool, that's pricked my ears.
And I watched, and I want to bring this up because I think it's proof positive that you just don't like women in comedy. I watched I Spy by Wunderkind director Paul Feig, your favourite.
How is he a Wunderkind?
I don't know, I just quite like that terminology.
He's old.
Yeah, but he's also a... No, he's not a Wunderkind. You were right to challenge me. I'm so sorry to you and to my public.
Yes.
Of Ghostbusters fame, Paul Feig. Now, I don't know if I ever... Because you've whinged enough about Ghostbusters, so I don't need to hear from you. Thank you very much. But I watched it, finally, on a proper version of it. Not
I've seen a proper version.
No, you haven't. You watched it on like some little cam.
No,
and
did
you
I?
Watched. Yeah, you said, yeah, no, I watched it. It wasn't very good quality. I just couldn't really hear the sound.
No, I did. I watched it properly, definitely.
Sure.
I did, 100%.
Sure.
No, that was Ghostbusters.
My unfortunate reaction. Because I would have loved to have been able to say, you know what? It was great. I had a lot of fun. Yeah. I wanted to enjoy it. I didn't watch it wanting to join in on all the fucking Ghostbusters shit women. Now, it's unfortunate that it's become sort of politicised, because my reaction to it was that it was just a very, very mediocre comedy.
What, you've seen Ghostbusters?
Yeah. I thought it was just really very flat.
Yeah.
I liked the beginning because there was sort of stakes and a plot, and there was differences in the characters. I liked that they introduced this idea that she wanted to be taken seriously as an academic and all this sort of stuff. But those stakes very quickly disappeared, and then it just became about four buddies just doing a whole bunch of mediocre stuff. And enough has been said about Ghostbusters already. I want to talk about something completely different.
But I just want to say...
But the main point is that they mixed that weird improvisational comedy that he likes. Not weird. That
they didn't mix it.
Modern... Exactly. Well, they didn't do it very well. That's the
they
point.
Just
they got somebody whose forte is these kind of long. They shoot loads and loads of stuff, and they improvise, and then they pick the best gags, and everything's got a little gag in it, and blah 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 blah. But a Ghostbusters movie has to be sort of a narrative flow. There has to be kind of stakes that escalate. There has to be. And all the scenes are just far too long because they're putting all these unrelated jokes.
Some of them don't even make any sense. They don't have any exposition in.
Mm.
When they hire the sexy receptionist, there's like, he starts going like, I call my cat, because it's my cat. And they're like, you call your cat, my cat? But it's like, and there's no exposition at all. So they've just sort of hired him.
No, it's not a cat, it's a dog. That's the joke.
Oh, that's the one, yeah, that's
Michael
the
Hatt, his name is Mike Hatt.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you've brought that up before. It's a bad
joke. And
old
references.
Sure, but it's...
Just,
I saw an interesting little comparison where someone was being quite fair, and they were like, look at the old Ghostbusters, and there'd be all these jokes, but they're kind of quite succinctly linked to telling the story.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's introducing plot points while they're making jokes, whereas this new one, they are doing plot, 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 and then they have to stop, everything just stops while they do this kind of... kind of related set piece of comedy where they're riffing and improvising that goes on for a while, and there's long, it's let breathe, and you lose all the characters, and you lose where the trajectory of the plot was going. So if they'd just done a comedy with those people, it would have been a lot better. But they've tried to sort of tell, it's just, It's like Dawn of Justice. Trying to do too many things all at once becomes a horrible mush.
Well,
but... Go on then.
The interesting thing, right, about Ghostbusters is the original cut was like that. They improvised loads. There was two characters that Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd played in the park that were like these two tramps. And they were like a Rosencrantz and Guildenstern.
You're doing well.
Stein?
Yeah! Ben gets it right. You're a good boy, Ben. I'm proud of you.
Try, didn't I?
I'm trying to do some positive reinforcement.
No, but they and it was awful. Like, I've seen the deleted scenes, and they're awful. And why would you have that in there?
Mm.
And they had this kind of crazy comedy, because they were SNL people, and they improvised in loads. But they cut all that out, and that was the final movie.
And that perfect example is the wonton soup jokes all the way through. Like scenes will come crashing to a halt because what's her name, the actress,
Melissa McCarthy,
of course. It will come screeching to a halt so that she can do a little riff on how she's dissatisfied with all the soup and stuff.
Because she's selfish.
It has absolutely no idea. I'm not sure it's not her fault, but it has absolutely nothing to do with what's going on. So you might be having some sort of plot going on and some sort of thrust, but then it has nothing to do with her character. It doesn't tell you anything about her. It doesn't tell you about anything about the relationship. It just is completely separate, and that's the problem with it. But, and this is the only reason I brought it up, I watched I Spy, which was also directed by Paul Feig, starring Melissa McCarthy, and I thought it was bloody good fun.
I mean, fair enough.
And I think the fact that you thought it was terrible, and you said, oh, Melissa McCarthy falls over a lot, doesn't fall over that much.
She does all the time. She falls off a moped.
She falls over a few times.
A lot.
Granted,
I counted.
But
I
the
counted.
Majority of the chuckles are not fall down chuckles.
Yeah, exactly.
And
but
the fall down chuckles are funny.
Are
chuckles.
They?
Yes.
You like laughing at a fat woman falling?
No, I don't. I think she's a good physical comedian, and I like Melissa McCarthy. I think that's probably the crux of it, is that you just don't like her.
No, I don't think
or
so.
Or women.
No, for me, I think, like...
That's a 94% on Rotten Tomatoes, Ben. Are you going to argue?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just think,
fair
like...
enough.
I just think... Like, what? I don't know, I just think, God, it's not a real person. It's not like...
Ignore
it's
Ben
It's not
Adams.
A good comedy performance. Yeah, she's a good physical performer,
but she hasn't got... for her. She's established who she is at the beginning. You feel
for
her.
The same old thing.
No! Ben.
Is.
She's kind
of... No, she starts off like, oh, I'm all coy. And then she has to do another personality, which is...
And it turns out that
Melissa
she was
McCarthy.
Great at being an agent the whole time. That's the point. But she was, you know, underestimated. Yeah. And I felt like, listen, I know that you hate all this agenda stuff, but I thought it did that role reversal stuff and that gender stuff in a way that was fun and quite fresh. And it didn't feel like any kind of drag or being lectured at or anything. It was just like, we're going to see some women be really funny. Going to see them being like capable and fun at their job in a way that's still human and interesting. And it's just got characters. And I thought it was great. Yeah. I thought it had everything that Ghostbusters didn't have. So it just proves that, I think, for me anyway, that Paul Feig and those kind of actresses and actors, that kind of that team that he works with, can do those sort of action, those female fronted comedies that have action and genre stuff all those kind of things.
Yeah.
He can do it.
I just don't like it.
It was a mistake to give him the this.
I just don't obviously like
Ghostbusters.
Paul Feig's comedy
or female comedy. Sure.
That's not true though, is it? Because I like Bridesmaids. I love Bridesmaids.
Anyway, I really enjoyed it, and I would recommend anyone who's going, Ghostbusters. And even if you don't like Bridesmaids, you'd probably quite like
Ice. The problem is, I didn't hate
and
Paul
popular
Feig.
Opinion is on my side, man.
I didn't hate Paul Feig, but then it's just like, the problem is, with me, it's going to be biased, because Ghostbusters is like everything to me. Mm-hmm. And it's so annoying, and like, I love Ghostbusters more than most people. And it's become like a kind of Back to the Future thing, like, and they are, Back to the Future, Ghostbusters, it's like... People don't really... They never really loved it.
You liked it before it was cool.
No, not yeah. And it's, yeah, yeah.
You're kind of a hipster at heart. You're like a Ghostbusters.
Yeah, okay. I fully
Back
admit
to the Future.
I know,
80s hipster style.
I can't help but be like that. There's not many people like that that are like, I love Ghostbusters, and it's like, oh, you're just like stamping all over my toys. You're just coming in, going, hey, we love Ghostbusters, and it's like, oh man.
Did you have that with Star Wars? Was that one of your things when you were young?
No, not really. I saw Star Wars quite late.
Because that was
like Lord of the Rings is like that for me.
Mm.
And in years to come, if people start being like, and now Michael Fassbender is Gandalf, I'll be like, oh, it was so perfect.
Yeah, that was terrible. But I was trying to do a segue.
You didn't like Lord of the Rings?
Yeah, it's poops.
There you go, listeners. The I Spy recommendation from the man who doesn't like Lord of the Rings.
It's so boring, though, isn't it?
No, it's... Oh, see, there you go. You need a big fat woman falling over going, Gandalf!
Frodo, shall we walk over here?
Yeah, because that's what it is.
Shall we walk over here a bit
you
more?
You saying that is the equivalent of me saying it's just Melissa McCarthy falling over.
No, because yours is backed by bigotry and hate, whereas mine is... I mean, I'm not bigoted against hobbits.
No. It's not from that, though, is it? I just don't enjoy it.
Yeah, we all know about you by now.
See,
but
obsessed.
But Star Wars, I was trying to do a segue, you see, and trampled all over it. I was trying to segue to the fact that they've announced what it's called.
The Last Jedi.
The Last Jedi.
Yeah, but guess what you did, Disney? Guess what you did? You shat all over my penis. I was excited for Star Wars. I was like, yes.
Because of Rogue One.
Star Wars. And then they went, here's a little glimpse of what you're going to be getting for the next 7 years.
What, Rogue One? No, I think it's not.
The same Star Wars stories again and again. The Han Solo film. You're going to get the Boba Fett film.
You don't need to watch those, though. The main ones. I think that I'm happy to divorce the Star Wars stories from the main franchise.
If Last Jedi is amazing, but I'll be more than happy. I'll be so happy.
Because
of Rogue One, I'm instantly like, oh no, what have we've put it? You know, it's in the hands of Disney now. They're making Beauty and the Beast.
Hmm.
Like, what are they doing?
That Beauty and the Beast trailer is doomed from the moment she opens her mouth.
Yeah.
I was like, nope.
No. As soon as they started using the music, like, I was like, oh, I love Beauty and the Beast. I'll watch Beauty and the Beast.
God, and Ewan McGregor sounds like he's doing a really bad
French
accent.
I know.
Real bad.
The original is fucking amazing. It's so perfect. Mm. Why do you... You've got it there.
Mm.
Release a HD super version if you want. But just, you don't need to spend all that money.
Anyway, I'm talking about Star Wars. Last Jedi. I got into a conversation with my girlfriend trying to justify why The Last Jedi sounds pretty cool.
It does sound cool.
And it's a lot better than Attack of the Clones and The Phantom Menace.
I actually think the prequels have got a lot of merit now. Now I've seen the other side. I think that George Lucas...
Yeah, but I'm talking about the titles. We just got into a conversation. She wouldn't believe it. Like, she thought that Last Jedi sounded just as stupid in sci-fi as anything. But The Phantom Menace...
Does she like Star Wars?
Yeah. But she didn't really watch it when she was young. Yeah, we watched it all.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying about Ghostbusters.
She's enjoyed them.
In The Last Jedi, it is exciting.
But I remember watching Return of the Jedi over and over. We had a VHS. Remember VHS, guys?
Remember.
But VHS, I just would rewatch it on just loop, I remember. Not really probably understanding much of what was going on, but knowing it was really awesome and cool from a really young age, so I'm still excited by it.
Oh no, I'm excited, but
I'm not sure what I think about Ryan Johnson directing it. But anyway,
we'll see.
We'll get a trailer soon. Isn't that exciting?
And then there'll be loads of reaction videos going, oh my god, it's oh my god.
Okay,
no, there will be, though, won't there? It'll be like, suddenly Darth Maul's back. And everyone will be like, oh my god, Darth Maul! Oh god.
Now, I know you're chomping at the bit to mention this new computer game that you've been into. Now, just while we're talking about films, I watched a film that came out a couple of years ago called Pride.
Yeah.
Which was almost guaranteed to really enjoy it because it's sort of about all sorts of stuff that I really like. It's got loads of actors that I like. Joseph Gilgan was in it, Bill Nighy, Imelda Staunton. It's got a really great cast of sort of new actors, but also a lot of.
I thought it was a documentary.
No. It's not. It's not a documentary about gay rights. It's about a very specific thing in the 80s during Thatcher, where there was this kind of. It's about this unlikely alliance between. A group of a gay group that operates out of this bookshop in London, comprising of all these young gay people who are very kind of politically activists basically, and they come up with the idea of trying to support this small mining community in Wales because their logic is, I suppose, that they're being oppressed just like we are, and they're trying to build like coalitions between different people, and they're saying why do we only stand up for our oppression and not other people's oppression? So it's about them trying to build a bridge between these kind of London homosexuals and this quite conservative small little village in Wales. So it's a kind of culture clash thing, but it's just built to make you kind of laugh and cry along with these characters. They're so lovely and there's so much humanity, and obviously there's hardships and there's miscommunications, and gradually they kind of form these bonds and friendships, and there's all these speeches, and it's about the common man triumphing and the unquenchable human spirit and unquenchable, I don't know what I'm talking about, but it's just a really good, nice little film. Nice. Very funny and very kind of joyous in that kind of British, kind of small little British comedy kind of way.
Yeah.
It was really, really bloody good. Really
awesome.
Enjoyed it.
Sounds good.
Talk about your game. I don't know why I'm being so mean to you today. It's very unpleasant.
I think I'm horrible. It's in the world of Trump.
It's Trump. It's Trump's fault.
I was speaking to someone yesterday, and I was saying how, like, you even like just I just like to talk about like the other point of view, even if I don't agree with everything. But it's like, well, as soon as you do that, people get angry, and they're like, not saying you're not getting it, you're getting angry, but other people.
I'm quite angry.
But other people, I'd say, like, I like Nigel Farage, and they'd be like,
get
the fuck out, you fucking piece of shit. It's like, without hearing anything, it's just like, Jesus, like. It's crazy, that level of hatred.
Well, people are very... I don't know if it sounds like kind of a trite thing to say, but I thought of a little thing that expresses a lot about what I don't like about the discourse that we have. Mostly people seem to be... It's quite fashionable to put your political or social convictions above people. Above other people.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm quite happy to be on friendly terms and have discussions or just conversations about completely unrelated things with someone whose political views I find actually, problematic or really contrary to my own. There are people that are just sort of completely villainized by social circles that I'm in or on the comedy circuit or whatever because of the things that they think or the ways that they've expressed them, and I understand that, but it's never been a compulsion that I have to kind of be like, well, because I disagree with so and so on this issue and it's so fundamental to everything.
Yeah,
I mean, I get it if you're an ethnic minority and someone comes across to you as a racist, then it would be very difficult. And I know that's not a problem that I often come across, but I just think that people are just too quick to write people off because they said something. I mean, it's to a kind of weird level, to the point where you said something like 5 years ago, and that's the whole reason why I won't share a stage with you, on some panel or whatever it is. So people will be no platform for things they did even decades ago. And it's because people are just really keen to put their political convictions above just relating to people.
Yeah.
And that, I feel like that's
because
problematic.
Yeah, because people are like, are their kind of online personas now. They've become that kind of like this is who I am. Here's a list of everything, and I'm not going to falter from any of that.
Yeah, people are constantly performing themselves.
Yeah.
Like, even people who aren't performers are online kind of performing a version of themselves all the time. Projecting, this is what my persona online thinks about this. And a lot of people, they have, especially people with a big following, there's so many people out there that they have a big following because they're unfailingly right about everything.
Yeah.
And these people have so much to lose, or at least they feel like they have so much to lose, if just once they said, you know what, I was dead wrong about that, and I went beyond, you know, my knowledge on that, or I shouldn't have spoke too soon, or so-and-so's made an argument that has convinced me of this.
Yeah.
Because then people would go like, oh, you're flip-flopping, or oh, you're an idiot, and you know, everyone's got to be just pretending like they're 100% informed all the time.
That's true.
There's no space for anyone to go, hey, I don't, you know, maybe I was wrong about that, or maybe I don't know enough about that, so maybe I'll ask people or have a discussion.
Like Jeremy Corbyn's doing.
Is that what he's doing?
He's kind of flopping all over the place, but then you could argue that, he's just getting more informed.
But it's just not what politicians are supposed to do.
No, yeah, exactly.
You can't change your
mind. It's seen as weakness, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
And when really, like, I hate that changing your mind is a weakness. Like, I'm always like, sometimes I'll be arguing with Hayley, and she'll be like, well, no, that's ridiculous. And I go, fair enough.
Yeah, I do that with...
You've changed my mind.
Exactly, I do that with Kiara all the time.
But Hayley's
most of our discussions, I end up backtracking
a
whole bunch. Or maybe sticking to my guns because I'm being sort of stubborn in the moment, and then, like, the next day I have to admit, you know, by the way, when we were having that conversation, you know, I was talking out my ass. But that's not... You know, it takes a real man slash woman to admit
when you're wrong. You said that. And I'm like, no, but I'm saying, you've convinced me.
Yeah, I was wrong.
I was wrong. And she's like, it's hard to understand now. Because you've got to be like, no, because I've got 500 followers that love me for saying no to you. And it's like, fucking hell.
Anyway, I asked you to talk about your computer game. I don't quite know how we got to it.
I don't know.
It's just on our minds.
It's
just everywhere.
It's fucking everywhere.
Two honest-to-God comedians can't just meet in a room and talk about computer games anymore because of bloody Trump.
I know.
And isn't that the biggest tragedy of them all?
Yes.
Probably.
Yeah, probably. My game is called Lego Dimensions.
Okay.
Right. It's a game, so you get a little board that lights up, and you build a portal on it. And then you get the Lego minifigures. You get a little disc with them, and then when you put those on the pad, it comes up on the screen.
Okay, right.
And you can get Peter Venkman, Gandalf, Marty McFly, and I love Lego, so it was just like, oh, excuse me.
He's got gas, ladies and gentlemen.
I do.
He's soldiering on, like a good boy, like a big boy. Well, I have to burp him in a moment, but rather than just having all of those characters selected.
Oh, no, you also get a level with them and an adventure mode. So basically the level is like a narrative of Back to the Future. But then you also get a free play, like, adventure mode. So it's just a Back to the Future world for you to do little tasks in, do little challenges, and it's all related to Back to the Future.
So you get the Back to the Future world because you've got the little figure.
Yeah.
Right.
And you also get the DeLorean.
So what I'm trying to understand is, rather than just... How much is this game, like, flat rate?
£60 The starter kit.
Okay. So, instead of it, what you've got to explain to me is, for £60...
Yeah. Okay.
It sounds like you've bought £60...
Yeah.
And then it's gone, in order to have any content...
You've got to
buy all these figures for it. Rather than just having these levels available...
No, it does.
And all these characters available...
No, it does.
It's you've got to buy the characters separately.
Listen.
This is some sort of weird...
Listen.
Scheme.
I'm just a bit obsessive... So as soon as
exactly.
I bought it
and enjoyed it,
bought it all.
Exactly.
But
you put it right into their hands.
Yeah, but with the starter pack, you still get the portal, the stand. You get Gandalf, Batman and Wildstar from Lego Movie.
Right.
So with that, you get Lego Movie World, Gotham DC World, and Lord of the Rings World. Plus you get about 8 levels.
Right.
Or you're just using those characters. But
so it's a full game already, is it? For £60?
But obviously, to get to certain things in the levels, like to do the little tasks, sometimes you need another character.
Yeah.
But
locked content.
But you can rent.
Fee to pay.
Listen, you can rent them for 30 seconds to do the task for the studs that you can buy in game. So yeah, it is a bit like that. But it's, you get a lovely figure.
Mm-hmm.
It's just fun. Yeah, I'm being sold to, but it's it's really fun. Like, it's genuinely worth the money. It's
so
really
what have you?
Fun.
How much have you spent on it so far? Be honest. 60 quid flat rate. Then you've got your Back to the Future figurines.
I've probably spent about 180 quid.
Yeah! Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
180?
Yeah. But it's so fun.
Is it 180?
It's worth it.
Is it?
No. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Are you going to keep those figures? Are you going to, like, display them? Can you... Are they collectible?
Yeah, they look amazing. Yeah, they're like the proper Lego figures. And usually the packs, you can get them for, like, £10.
Mm-hmm.
So £10 for like a little Lego figure, the joy of building those figures and the vehicles.
Mm.
So that's fun. And also, as you level up the vehicles, you have to remake the thing. It's really fun. And the
so which ones have you got? Back to the Future.
Back to the Future, Ghostbusters,
mm-hmm.
Lego Movie.
Blimey.
I've got like 3 from Lego Movie. Mm. Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Superman is, you can fly around the world. And every time you fly, it goes. It's just so fun. I love Lego, and I just.
Sure.
I'm willing to pay it because it gives me so much enjoyment.
Are you excited about the Lego Batman movie?
Yeah, I can't wait.
Really?
Yes. I can't wait. I fucking love Lego.
I'm not sure it's going to be good, Ben.
Well, I hope it is.
I really like the Lego movie.
I'm excited. And from what I've seen of it recently, the TV spots, I'm like, yeah, yeah, be good. Mm. Trust me, it will be good.
Okay.
They're putting a lot on this. It's going to be good. And all the Lego games are always good. They're always funny.
Mm-hmm.
And Lego Dimensions is... when you put the characters on, they interact with each other. So you put them on the screen... And Homer Simpson will be like, "He's Batman," and Batman. Krusty the Clown came on, and Batman was like, "The Joker." Oh, sorry, wrong clown.
That is £180 well spent, right there.
Yeah, but you haven't played it. So fun! It's so fun. It is totally worth it. Yeah, but at the moment, I've got I'm doing all right, and I wanted to buy Lego Dimensions, and I love Lego.
Well, fair enough.
Anything to keep my mind active.
Okay, so recommendation time. Do your little song.
Recommendations, recommendations. What's he gonna do this week?
This week, I am gonna recommend something that I've already mentioned before. I'll quickly mention it again because I do want you to watch it because I think you'll really enjoy it. And I want to talk about it more because people don't talk about it enough.
Tickled.
You should watch Tickled, but my official recommendation, and just before we go on, actually, we are aware that we've got a backlog, especially me.
Yeah.
I've got to watch Flowers, I've got to watch Cosmos, I've got to watch Him and Her.
Yeah.
You were going to watch Wiener, but you didn't watch it. You didn't watch Wiener. About Anthony Wiener.
See, the problem is I need to write it down.
Mm. So you've got... I think you're actually doing a lot better than I am.
Wiener.
I've got like 3 series worth of stuff to catch up. I never watched Scream Queens.
No, Jesus, man.
So, I mean, I've got a very poor track record. But let's do a little bit of reset. And...
easy for you to say.
Oh, yeah, let's just...
Catch up.
Forget about all of those things.
God damn it.
I will watch them. I will watch them eventually. Sure. But I want to... re-recommend Early Doors to you.
Early Doors.
Which was Craig Cash's sitcom follow-up to...
Craig Cash.
The
sofa work sloth.
It was a follow-up to The Royal Family, and everyone talks about The Royal Family, and I like The Royal Family a lot, but it's kind of entered into the common parlance, the canon of Great British sitcoms, in a way that Early Doors... never did, and maybe it's not quite as good. I don't know, but I really, really liked it, and I probably have watched it more. And it's just a very similar thing. It's not a family indoors; it's just in a pub. Similar kind of characters, similar sense of humour, and a similar kind of real, like, heart to it, and you know, makes you cry at the end and all that good stuff. So I think you should watch it.
Okay.
It's great, and there's two series of it and some specials. That's it.
Okay.
What's yours?
I've got a deal for you. I can give you two, and you have to do them both, and then you can wipe the slate clean. You don't have to watch any of that.
Let's hear what they are first.
Okay. One of them. It's completely gone. I just moved my head like that, and it went. It's gone.
That's all it takes.
It's gone now.
Oh, Ben.
Oh, okay. I've got one. So, Independence Day, Resurgence.
Okay. Can I watch that? Are you telling me I have to go to the cinema? What? Or is it out on something?
Yes, it's out on Blu-ray.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's not, though, is it?
Yeah, it is, mate.
Okay. All right, I'll endeavour.
Independence Day, Resurgence.
Sure.
It's on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
It definitely is.
I think, pretty much everyone says it's poops, apart from you.
Yeah, I know. Like a lot of things.
Do I have to watch the first one? I have seen it years ago, but I'm not familiar with it. Do I have to be familiar with it? Do I have to watch them both?
What, have you not seen Independence Day 1?
Not for years.
Oh, man.
It's not part of my adult consciousness.
Really?
Something that I watched when
it came
out.
You're like a year younger than me.
Yeah, but I wasn't obsessed with it. Like
no,
you were. Anyway, maybe I'll watch them both. Anyway, what's the other one? You can't remember.
Yes, I can.
This deal has fallen apart very, very quickly. Okay, so we've had a little break for you to try and gather your thoughts and remember it.
I can't remember.
You can't
remember at all.
You can't remember what that second one was. So, is the deal still on? If you watch Independence Day Resurgence,
yeah, I
don't have to watch Flowers, yeah. Cosmos, all the things I would actually prefer to watch. It's difficult. I'll accept that deal.
Okay. That's not the deal, though. There's something else.
Yeah, but you can't remember it. And that isn't my... We've come to the table with an agreement.
Yeah.
And my party isn't responsible for the deal, for the deal closing down. So we have to honour the deal.
I'm still thinking about what it is.
But you're not going to get it.
No.
We've turned it off, viewers. We had 45 minutes Ben sat there going, "What was it?" It was very painful. At one point, I was like massaging his temples, trying to get it to come back. I was reading him like word cues from the conversation we were having. We slammed his head into a wall, trying to shock his. Nothing worked.
Nothing.
Independence Day Resurgence. That's what I'm getting.
Yeah.
Okay. It's got like 22 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Really?
Mm.
Oh, I loved it. You like I Spy, though. You like shit.
That's got 94. That's got 94% on Rotten Tomatoes. I think you're
right. You can't trust
And
Rotten
I go
Tomatoes.
By Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, that's why on the Ghostbusters 2016 Blu-ray, it said... It had a sticker on the front saying 90-odd% Rotten Tomatoes
that's
rated.
That's not true. Surely it hasn't
it
got
is
the,
true.
I'm looking that up right now.
Look it up
I'm
right now. It says rated fresh on Rotten Tomatoes.
I'm not having this. It doesn't say... So we've looked it up and it's actually 73%. So.
No, but I didn't say
As
that.
As always, Ben Adams exaggerated for his agenda, for his rights activist agenda. He's going to have a blog published on A Voice for Men.
These feminists contending that Ghostbusters is good and saying it's got 96! It's got 96%! It's clearly not a 96% movie.
Right, once again, you have.
But it's also
misheard
not. It's also. It's also not a 73% movie either. It's quite bad. It's bad.
The question was, I said it had rated fresh from Rotten Tomatoes on the Blu-ray.
Mm.
And you said, no.
Anyway, I hope you've enjoyed this episode, everybody. The sound quality should be slightly better.
So I've Independence Day Resurgence for you, and
yep.
You've done Early Doors.
Early Doors. And Wiener and Tickled.
And Wiener and Tickled. And you've got out scot-free.
And Tickled Wiener.
With one recommendation.
Yeah. And I'll be all up to date. All right, well, that's it. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys. Thanks
hope
for listening.
I hope you've enjoyed it. Goodbye.
Bye.